I want to thank God for this group, and you know, I was thinking how blessed I have been to, I have a lot of women friends, but they're scattered all over the country, and I was thinking this week about my group and how much it means to me. And I want to tell you, you know, they say we should give honor where honor is due. And I want to thank God for Debbie and Doreen, whose group I've been a member. And I, when Carol approached me last fall, I said, I want to stay in my group. I don't want to leave my group. I love my group and just the group of women. And you have to understand, there are a lot of groups of women, churches where there's a lot of bickering. And no church is perfect, and there, you know, there are problems here and there. But we have a loving group, but sometimes when we have something for a while, we fail to see how wonderful it is. This is, I believe with all of my heart, that wow is of God. And I believe that God is going to use this group of women. I really do. And I am committing to pray more for our group, to praying more for us. And I just want to thank you for that, like Carol says, and Carol and Ann, just for their diligence and their hard work, and for each of us making the time, taking the time to come out, and just the way we support one another. You don't see it, but you know, I'm fairly new, and I see it. And God is worthy. God is, I believe, is pleased with what we're doing, and I give Him thanks for that. And I just want to thank you again, Doreen and Debbie and Tassie, and just, I've learned so much from them. I really have, and I'm a better person because of it. We've been studying about disobedience and obedience and the cost of it. And I want to throw some names out to you, and you will see what comes to mind. Think of Richard Nixon, or Edgar Allan Poe, Ernest Hemingway, Jim Baker, Bernie Madoff. All of these people, Richard Nixon, president from 1968 to 1974, whenever his name comes up, we think of Watergate, don't we? He made that one major mistake, and it has stained his life forever. We think of Edgar Allan Poe. I love his work. I mean, it tends to be a little dull, but he is a great writer. And yet, with all his giftedness, he died a drunk. They're not even sure what killed him. And we think of Ernest Hemingway, early American writer in the early 20th century. Beautiful writer, gifted writer. You read his works, your kids read his works, and your grandkids are reading his works today. What does that say about him? And yet he committed suicide. We think of Jim Baker. I remember watching Jim Baker in high school, watching him on TV, and PTL was very popular, you know, a very popular ministry, and yet, because of misuse of funds and an affair, it really took, his ministry was lost. And God is using him now, but still, it ruined his ministry for a long time. We think of Jimmy Swaggart. I remember watching him on TV, and I remember being in college when everything came out for the first time. And I remember being in dismay and thinking, God, are you really real? Because I looked up to these men. I think of Bernie Madoff. And I think of this man who allowed greed. How could you rob people to that extent? How could you rob people, period? But to do that, and yet with all he had, he is going to die in prison. Disobedience. All of these men, they either disobey the laws of nature, the laws of government, and all of them, the laws of God. And their disobedience have caused much demise to their lives. And I believe each of us knows somebody whose one, maybe one act, one bad decision, one wrong move have caused them much pain. Each of us knows someone, or knows someone who knows someone. And I think about my own family, a cousin of mine. Oh, he was a great runner. His father was too. And he had a 4-year scholarship to a major university, I believe. And he turned his back on it. So happened that my aunt was working a part-time as a housekeeper on the weekends, and one of her clients was a lawyer. Well, my cousin came to the condo and stole from the lawyer, stole some jewelry. You know what he's doing today? I don't even think he's working. He had a bright future. We begged him. He decided he didn't want that. And we have young people today who don't listen. My friend's son, I remember teaching him. He's been behind bars for, 12 years now. Didn't listen. She warned him, hanging out with the wrong people. Sitting in a car, they went to rob a jewelry store. He didn't know about it, but he was a part of it. And look at his life. And those are extreme examples, but they happen every day. And you know what? We will probably never, ever fall into those traps. But we, like those people, will miss out on things that God wants to do through us if we don't obey Him. And you know, this morning, I was thinking, Lord, do I have to talk about this? It's raining already. You know, it's already bleak outside. You know, it's not the let's jump and shout kind of talk. But as we have been reading about disobedience and obedience, and we see where obedience brings blessing, obedience brings joy, obedience brings life and hope, and we see that disobedience is costly. Disobedience, there's a price to pay when we disobey. Disobedience brings loss. And who to tell if we disobey God or decide that, Lord, we don't want to be used this way. It's too much. The loss we will experience. And perhaps we will never know on this side of heaven if we don't obey God to use us as He really wants to. When I look on throughout Scripture and I look at this, I think of two people whose lives stand out the most. One is Samson and one is Saul. And I just want to talk to you about Saul for a little bit and about how this man, if you can read about his life in 1 Samuel chapters 19 through 13. And Saul, when I think of Saul, I think of Mitt Romney. You know, Mitt Romney is a handsome man. I mean, he looks presidential. You know, he wasn't that convincing to me. But boy, he looks so presidential, and he is handsome, and he speaks well, and he just has the look. He looks like a president, doesn't he? And when we read about Saul in chapter 9 of 1 Samuel, it says, Saul was handsome, and there was not a more handsome person than he among the sons of Israel. From his shoulders and up, he was taller than any of the people. When Saul walked in the room, you stopped and looked. You would do a double take. That's the kind of presence, the aura that he had about himself. Saul had the kingdom at his disposal. God did not want Israel to have a king, but they were disobedient. They were rebellious. They wanted to be like everybody else. They were a theocracy, but they did not want God's rule. And God said, okay, it's not my best for you, but I'm going to give you a king. And you know something? Saul could have done a good job. And perhaps at the beginning he thought he would, but because of his disobedience, which began in chapter 13, when he chose not to wait on Samuel. You know, Samuel was a prophet and a priest. And Samuel was supposed to offer the sacrifice. And Saul knew that. That was protocol. But he couldn't wait. He was in a hurry. And he felt that he could do it. And from that point down, his reign began to go down, down, and down. Saul had unusual physical strength. He was tall. He was fitful. And he had everything going. He was sharp. He had mental acumen. Okay, he had everything going for him, but because of disobedience, one after another, his reign was a complete disaster. And you know, we look at our lives, and we have a lot going for us. And you may not feel that this morning. You may not have everything going for you. But honestly, in a lot of ways, we have a lot going for us. Everything may not be hunky-dory, but we have a lot compared to people in other parts of the world, in other parts of Florida. in other parts of the South, in other parts of Niceville. We have a lot going for us, as did Saul. And we, like Saul, if we don't obey God, if we don't decide that we want to hear him, if we don't take the time to listen, we, like he, will ruin our lives. You know, Saul was called by God. He was anointed by Samuel, and he was popular with the people. We have been called by God. God called us for a reason. And you know something? I was thinking about our crowd, and I was thinking, we are called for work. We are not called here just to get saved and to fly down the path of Christianity, just to rock back and not have anything to do. God wants to use each of us. There is no relaxing in retirement. You may be retired, but you are not retired from the King's service. You may be a stay-at-home mom, but you know what? You're not there just to stay and just take care of your children. There are things God wants you to do. You may be a student, but you know what? God wants to use you as an example right there in the classroom. You may be a businesswoman, and God wants to use you right where you are. God wants to use each of us, because each of us has a role to play. Each of us has a part to play. And think, if the people who have to decorate this room didn't show up, who would do it? I think it would get done, but not as well. If the people who have to bring the food decide they didn't want to be bothered today, what would we eat? Do you know what I mean? We all have a part to play, and God expects us to do it. He wants to do it through us. We don't do it through ourselves, because if we do it through ourselves, first of all, we will take the glory for ourselves. Second of all, it will not be empowered. We of ourselves will only fail. We can do but so much. But when God does it through us, he does it so much bigger. And he gets the glory. And people see him at work. I have been doing this study. And I tell you what, there are times I think, good Lord. You know, I say, God, I don't know sometimes why you even bother with me. You know, this weekend, I have to go drive for 7.5 hours to go speak at a church. And when they've called me more than once, and I did go the first time, and then the women's ministry director called me, and I said yes, but to be polite. And to tell you the truth, I said, I'm not going. I don't feel like driving that far. And I was complaining in my heart, and I heard God speak to me and say, Janet, go. And you think I stopped complaining? I decided I wasn't going. I didn't want to. And I was getting the mail out of the mailbox one day, and I heard the voice of God in my heart. God said, Janet, stop complaining. I want you to go. And last week I was sick. I'd been coughing, and I thought, yay, I'm going to call her and tell her. That, you know what, I have a cough, and she can't deny it because I had to go to the doctor. After a week, I had to go, and he gave me antibiotics, and I thought, this is my perfect out. And you know what? I couldn't do it. Why didn't I want to go? I knew it wasn't going to be comfortable because I knew that my cycle would start, and I knew that it's going to be uncomfortable, I'm going to be in pain, and I don't like driving long distances. Hey, spring break is coming up. I wanted a break. I didn't want to go. I really didn't. But I knew I had to go. What am I saying? That often I am disobedient. This delay, Mr. Blackaby says, delayed obedience is disobedience. And we may not do what Bernie Madoff or Hemingway or Poe or Jim Baker will do, but we will miss out on God's plan if we don't follow it. And timing, I have known that for a long time in my head, not always in my heart, but timing is everything. When God tells us to get up and move, we have to. Because the truth is, he is our commander-in-chief. And I see, when I move in God's timing, I see what he does. And I also see what happens when I don't. And you have to. I think of, and I look at some of you women, you have walked in shoes that some of us will never even be able to stand it. And you have seen God's work in your life. And you have stories to tell. And you could write 10 bestsellers, you know? And you know what it is to obey God. Do not think that because you're maybe in the winter of your years, that God is finished with you. That He still doesn't have a call on your life. And He still doesn't have a plan for you. And don't think that because you have done so much, that it's time to relax. In His kingdom, there is no retirement. In His kingdom, there is no sabbatical. And in His kingdom, there is no sitting back. Because if we sit back, we will miss God's best. And if we miss it, we will forfeit and lose what we could have been. Who to tell? Billy Graham. What if he hadn't listened? Really, think about that. That lady who came to speak to us and shared her life story. What if she hadn't listened? That woman who took them in, that family, and gave those kids the food. She's gone on, quite likely. What if she hadn't listened? Elisha, he got the call. Elijah went to him. And I'm telling you, something about that struck me, about his timing. You know, it was an agricultural society. He had 12 yoke of oxen. That is money. And what did he do? He killed the animals. He cooked them up. He fed the people in his community. And he left everything behind. And he went. He took a straight course. What if he hadn't done that? Look at Joshua. Look at Daniel. Look at Joseph. One of the things I'm glad about is that the positive examples in Scripture are far outweighing than the negative ones. But think if they hadn't done it. We see all these people. You know, you look at Priscilla. Priscilla was a buddy of mine. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's Priscilla. But think if she had done that. There is a price to pay. And you know something? We may never be on the big screen, but in somebody's life, we will be on the big screen for them if we do what God wants us to do. And we don't need to worry if anybody knows about us.
Amen.
No, because that's not what it's all about. It's are we marching to the King's throne beat? And are we His women? His daughters and His vessels. Oh, Father God, I confess that often I delay in doing what You tell me because the cause causes discomfort, or I feel afraid, or I feel uncertain. And You have to put up with me. And Father, each of us can attest that when we don't listen and when we don't obey readily, we cause undue stress on ourselves and we don't move as fast along as You want to do or as You want us to. And Father, You have a plan for each of us. You are working Your kingdom purposes in each of us. You have Your hand on each of us. Oh, Father, may Your hand rest on each of our hearts. May You, Father, begin to draw us closer to You. May our will be broken daily as we die to self, as we submit all of us, our dreams, our hopes, our desires to You. Oh Father, You have called us for such a time as this. Oh Lord, help us never to become slothful, but always see the urgency of the call and take up the plow and forge ahead, never looking back, never weighing the cost, but say, here am I, Lord. beg me, Father, I pray your hand that it will rest on WOW, that you would cause us to be a WOW to the world, and that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted high, so that the world will see, oh, look what God has done in this woman or that woman, in each of us. Father, we love you. We love you more than life itself. And we thank you for calling us. May you bless us. May your hand be on each of us. And may you continue to surprise us with your work in our lives. In Christ's name, amen.
It strikes me, speaking of, you know,